Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 18th of June, and I'm recording at 9:42 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, the big news here today, which dominated markets, not surprisingly, was the Fed's statement following its Open Market Committee meeting. Now, beforehand, people had been worrying because inflation had pushed up in the U.S. to the highest level since, well, in 14 months, I believe, and that PPI and CPI are approaching the 2% level overall, which, of course, is the Fed's target overall. And people were worried that there might be a change in policy. Although I think that was overly nervous, because if you've been worried about deflation, and the Fed was, as other central banks have as well, that the first time it gets back to a target area on the upside, you're not going to start hiking interest rates. Well, one would hope not, and certainly the Fed made no indication that it was going to do anything like that. In fact, and I'll just read you a very short sentence here from the meeting, and that is, "The policymaking FOMC repeated today that it's likely to, quote, reduce the pace of asset purchases in further measured steps, unquote, and that it expects rates to stay low for a, quote, considerable time, unquote, after the bond buying ends." Well, there are no surprises there, and that is what the Fed has really been saying all along. And also, Janet Yellen said that the economic recovery was continuing. So it's very much in fits and starts, as you know. We have had a lot of value investors worrying about the economy and saying that the Fed needs to do more, or somebody needs to do more, or the administration needs to do more. And why is the market so weak? Well, I think it's really right on schedule, given what's happened in previous credit crisis recessions. And this was a big credit crisis recession, as you know, as bad as anything certainly going back to the 1930s. And it also was mirrored in a number of other countries as well. And the adage on these events, which I've repeated numerously in these broadcasts and also in my copy, is that it takes a minimum of 5 years before you start to recover. Well, we're not quite 5.5 years into the U.S. economic recovery. And I think this could go on easily for another couple of years at this rate of showing a very gradual, erratic improvement. It's kind of like three steps forward and two steps back at a time, but it is improving, and the Fed will keep interest rates near record levels to ensure that it does go on improving. And then you have to remember that we've also had the very positive monetary accommodation in the UK, more importantly in Japan, and in a different format really for the European Union. And not that many countries are in tightening mode. A few are, most notably New Zealand. So overall, I think the message, as far as I'm concerned, is that yes, this is a maturing bull market cycle, as I have been saying. But remember, we had those important tests last month of range lows, particularly by the NASDAQ Composite Index and also by the Russell 2000, and they held. They encountered support near the 200-day moving averages, which was important, and those moving averages are still moving higher. And we have seen a very good bounce, so that the NASDAQ Composite is now testing its high. It might have actually broken it to here later today. I should mention what Wall Street did, because Wall Street, well, it looked undecided following the Fed's statement, but then gradually picked up and closed, I think, on the highs. And the Dow was up almost 100 points. That's over 0.5%. The S&P did somewhat better, up 0.75 of a percent. And the Nasdaq was just like the up the Dow, up 0.59 percent. So that was a positive response here overall. And the big message, as far as I'm concerned, is don't fight the Fed in here. And we're going to have to see either another acceleration to the upside, which is possible, but well, I was going to say probably unlikely. I really don't know. There's some big psychological levels that will concern the markets, like 2,000 for the S&P 500. It's currently at 1,900 and nearly 57, nearly 1,957, so not far away. But I think we're still left with a maturing bull market overall, but it survived that May test, and therefore that's given it a little bit more life. And overall, to use that adage, you could say that this is still a monetary policy sweet spot. Now, other factors. So, what might worry investors? Well, there are the oil prices and the unrest in the Middle East, which is certainly unnerving. I talked a lot about that yesterday in my written commentary, but there's certainly plenty of uncertainty in terms of what actually happens in the Middle East, although it's clear that the Obama administration is very reluctant to participate in trying to knock back these extremist Sunnis, the ISIS or ISIL, whichever you prefer to call it. And there's an argument for saying don't do it. Here, let them sort this problem out. I think Baghdad can hold, as I said yesterday. But it is unnerving investors, and the key point, as far as I'm concerned, is how the Brent oil price actually responds. And while we had WTI crude down a little bit in here, that close, it was only 17 cents, but that's at 106.19 as I speak. But the Brent, which I looked at a few minutes ago, was up 87 cents at $1,114.31. And I've said before that anything above 120 will clearly be a headwind for stock markets in proportion to how much further it goes to the upside and also the speed with which it moves to the upside. So, still nervous times, but the most important overall factor in here is I think any oil price spike would be temporary, but it's by no means certain that we will get an oil price spike, but it is a risk, obviously. But overall, that's not as important over the medium to longer term as the Fed's currently very accommodative stance, which is going to continue for a while longer. Now, what happened in global markets here generally, other than Wall Street, which I've given you, and Japan was firmer in here today, up 8 tenths to 9 tenths of a percent across the Japanese indices. And this has been a good rally. Now, remember, we had that big setback, also reaching lows last month, and people were very nervous in terms of not only energy. Well, that risk is still there, but I think in particular they were concerned about the sales tax that Japan had introduced and how that might affect the economy. And the answer we know now is that the economy is still firm, and so it looks like the sales tax is not having any appreciable effect, or only a very, very temporary short-term effect, and that there would have been a little bit of extra demand before the sales tax came out because people knew that it was coming. But now it seems to be back to business as usual. And while the Nikkei 225 is currently ranging in a consolidation phase, I believe, we've seen the Japan TOPIX and also the second section, that TSE 2 index, which I often cite, continue to push ahead. They're on their way to becoming well, they are overbought in the short term, but the important point is we've had a very good test of the 200-day moving averages last month, and a good strong rally, and that really is very much in line with my view. I was nervous about it last month during the test, as inevitably one is when that happens. But that the evidence that I see it suggests strongly to me that this is still a lengthy medium-term consolidation before the Japanese bull market resumes. And again, very, very accommodative monetary conditions will be an extremely important factor in the resumption of that overall trend. Okay, elsewhere in Asia, more markets were down. China down for the second day in a row. It was only down 0.5% here on the Shanghai Composite after yesterday's decline, but I'd like to see it start to find some support right now. If you look at XA81, that's the China Banks index, it's actually slightly steadier overall than the Shanghai Composite, and that's a favorable sign overall. So again, I remain of the view that China is going to mount a bigger recovery, but if that's going to be correct, I'd prefer to see it encounter support during the rest of this week and beyond, obviously. Japan, which had a good day to the upside yesterday, but it gave pretty sorry, not Japan, India. India had a good day to the upside yesterday, but gave most of that up in here today. Also, Thailand, which had seen a pretty good rally recently, was weaker, down 1.34%, and the Indian Sensex was down just under 1.1%. Now, looking at the European stock markets, mixed. No big percentage moves in here, so you could say steady overall. Going back to the Americas, in addition to Wall Street, Canada up a bit, Mexico up a bit, and Brazil, good action in here today, up 1.66%. And that remains very much an interesting recovering stock market overall. Elsewhere, the dollar index, that's against the European currencies, is weaker in here. It's still above 80, but it's dipped back to 80.39. So again, it's backing away from the upper side of its range. And among the individual currencies, excuse me, other individual currencies, individual European currencies, I should say, the euro a little firmer at 135.95, and sterling right back up just below that 170 level here once again. So very steady performance overall by sterling. And precious now moving, well, let's see, other currencies. The Asian currencies are a little bit easier, and that includes the Japanese, sorry, not the Japanese, that includes the Indian rupee, which is back, it's fallen again, so they're over 60 rupees to the just over 60 rupees to the US dollar. Now, hard money, gold and silver. We have seen some steady action here today. And remember, yesterday was that interesting day because the gold and silver were weak early on and then closed with gains, or certainly silver did, and I think gold did as well. We saw so a little test of the downside, but which didn't hold it for long. And currently, we've got, and this is trading after hours, silver is over 16 cents higher at $19.89. Having had a little failed downward break out of the range of about a month and a half, that usually indicates a test of the opposite side, which is up near the $20 level. We're very close to that. But I think we're certainly going to have a good look at that $20 range. And provided we don't get a downward dynamic from that level, then it will go higher still over the next few weeks. And gold steady here, currently at the highs of the day, at 1,278 and change. That's up $8. And palladium also 825, up over $8. And platinum up $9 at 1,452, so quite steady. And the industrial metals are all a little bit firmer in here today, as are most of their share prices. Looking at other commodities, well, they're mostly to the upside here today. I see the grains and beans are firmer as well. The most important point of the day, though, Wall Street liked the reassurance that it got from Janet Yellen. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.